Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
You know, you got things on your heart, Bob, that you'd like to speak about Gog and Magog?
It's upon the land.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'd like to hear what you have to say about it, Bob.
By all means. It's just difficult to... You have Gog and Magog mean Antichrist. And it's out of the north, so you have events that have manifested physically. You have a literal pit of hell opened up, and the seas are turning bitter, and nobody's discussed wormwood. You have right now.
I don't have a full grasp on wormwood, but if you have one, by all means, bring it out. Yeah.
Well, spiritually, all of this is just telling the same story. These people are going to fall away.
Yeah.
Some of them are the heathen, and some of them are the Gentiles, and very little of them are the remnants, but there's a great multitude. And they enter into covenant with death, and hell hath no... It's a null and void agreement. And when you're told that I will come like a thief in the night, no matter what the spiritual Gog and Magog coming upon the land and the Armageddon that's happening, those that are in Christ see it, and it's through His Word that we're able to not only see it, but be aware of what's going on around us individually. If you're the temple of the Lord, and you are seated or standing with our Lord Jesus Christ, then when you see these things, when you see the Gog and Magog happening, where they're coming out of the north in great armies, and you see the great falling away, you're to stand in the holy place, enter into thy chambers. So if you have already come out into the wilderness and you've supped with our Lord Jesus Christ, then these events are not going to surprise you. But spiritually, you're aware of them. Now, who's not? Who's not aware of all this? Everybody. Everybody is just oblivious to this. You say, who has the meat of Scripture of the people that are just out in the world? And, you know, very little.
Well, see, this is what we talked about in the show, and it was pretty important. And that was, Ezekiel 37:7. So I prophesied as it was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. So there's the tribulation. And the bones came together, bone to his bones. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I mean, this is the multitude waking up, you know, and then they're the ones that, you know, that's the spirit of life of God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them that saw them. I mean, the multitude wakes up, and they're the army.
Well, on one level, yes, because it's scriptural. But you're never told how long they're gonna wake up and it's over. Who's gnashing at the teeth? Those are those who missed it. Those are those who are in the fixed gulf that they can't cross over. And that's the Gentiles, because the Gentiles are trampling the outer court. And that's the heathen, because the heathen are already, they're blackened. They're both terrors.
Yeah.
So you have to protect yourself, your mind. And it's in our thoughts, it's in our ideas. You know, what are you focused on? Well, you two are focused, and I am focused on doing a show that scripturally tells the proper rendering of scripture. And so far, so good. We all pray not to be deceived, and we've never come this far with so much understanding, and it's a very sobering thing. Now, if you're looking at the world as it is right now, the whole world lies in wickedness. They take evil for good, and you have a world event that's just like Krakatoa. You said, hey, you know, Krakatoa might have been the loudest sound ever. Well, that might have started something, but all of these events now are happening faster and faster.
Right.
So you have the Gulf of Mexico, and then less than a year later, you have Fukushima, but less than a couple months later, now you have two nuclear power plants in Omaha and Los Alamos in a fire.
And the antiquated dams on the Missouri River are all ready to burst.
Like dominoes.
They're all just worthless structures that are so overtaxed right now.
And we're told men will store up great wealth, and all of these institutions, corporations have shipped all the jobs overseas, so everybody's in slave labor overseas for $3 a day. So we've totally come to the conclusion that these men that store great wealth, they're here. And they can't give, they could pay everybody's dental for a year. Each one of them.
And Joel 3:1 says, "For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem." I mean, I believe that this is, that we're getting plunged into captivity again. This police state. On a physical layer.
On a physical layer, it's all happening, you know, where you're being surrounded.
it's all, that show that we just did was all about being surrounded. It's everywhere. It's all over there.
Now, Jeremiah 29 tells the tale of the end days. And it tells what the Lord is going to do. 29:18-19.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Why don't we go into this for 45 minutes or an hour and bring out all that you'd like to bring out, Bob, if we can, and then maybe spend the last half hour or 45 minutes on Revelation 17, if Chris would like. You know how that sounds? How that sounds?
Sure.
Well,
this Gog Magog is so huge that I'm all for that. Where are you
going? That was just a suggestion, by the way, on my part. You know, I'll go any way you guys would like to go.
I could just do Jeremiah 29 as the lead-in into that.
Do it.
Because, you know, you've got things on your heart I can see that you'd like to get out, and we can spend some time on that.
I'm good. It's all good. all good. We're just studying the Word, and it'll come out the way it's supposed to. It's just a the New Covenant, because it's telling the same story. Jeremiah is telling the story that they're not going to listen to you, and all the kingdoms are going to be shocked at all this. Well, we're not shocked. We're watching it. This could be the Feast of Demons in Little Season. And if your conclusions on Gog and Magog are that the people, the inhabitants of the earth are being overrun, then that's a proper rendering of Scripture. Because your neighbors are being overrun. No matter what church they're in, your families, everybody's being overrun, and it's surrounded. So they're being surrounded by the serpents and scorpions and the thistles and briars, and there's no escape. Is that the gist of Gog Magog?
Yeah.
Stand and count yourself worthy that you escape all things, yes.
Now you have, that's happening right now.
Yeah.
Because the TVs, the radios, everything you're inundated with takes you away from this gospel, and that's what it says will happen. And the sword equated in Jeremiah 29:18, you know, that's not only the physical sword, that's a drought, it's an instrument of destructive effect, as a knife, not like a knife, as a knife. Sword or other sharp instrument, axe, dagger, knife, mattock, sword, tool.
To be a curse and astonishment and hissing, a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them.
And that hissing is, nobody could get on the same page. Derision.
Uh-huh.
And that's part of the madness that we found in Battle at the Gate. And this all happens because people do not have the basic tenets of Scripture. And they're being led by the idol shepherds. And they're being devoured because Satan's a roaring lion. So when you're looking at this, you're looking at everything's against the Word of God, which is telling you the truth, but nobody wants to hear it.
Absolutely. I'm just sending Pete Wilson a quick apology letter. I just addressed it, Bill, on behalf of Chris and Bob, if that's all right with you guys.
Yep.
Thank you. I told him that I hope that we could get together and witness at a sometime in the near future. Okay, go ahead.
Well, it sounds like you got a good handle on that.
Why don't we spend about an hour or so on that then? And
I can run with you on that, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we could do that. Go to current events. Chris, what do you got?
Go RV. The Dinar RV, boy, they're buzzing about that. I'm just talking to you. I'm not going to say anything about that. Oh, my gosh. They are
Dinar.
They are so sure it's going to revalue this week. That would be nice.
The dinar? Oh, that's not right. Right, that's that Iraq. Is it Iraq or not? Right.
Iraqi dinar, yeah.
Iraqi, yeah.
Boy, just the mayhem out there, huh? The floods and the five wars.
Yep.
Greece has got 2 weeks to settle with the IMF, right?
They're talking about a military coup now.
Yeah.
And you won't hear anything about Iceland. Iceland locked up to all the bankers.
They did?
Yep. They prosecuted them.
They did?
Yep.
They prosecuted who?
They prosecuted all the bankers. Iceland said no to the IMF, and they started cleaning house with the bankers. They went after them.
When did this happen?
Well, read about it.
Yeah, no, I'm just, is this something like just in the last few days, or?
No, it's been going on.
It's been an ongoing thing, okay. Yeah, and that really gave Iceland a screwing over the IMF. That's what they want to do. You know, they want to trash everything and then bring the answer to the IMF in, and then you're beholden to them, you know, to suck blood out of you and your children and your grandchildren forever.
Usury.
Yeah.
It's just a subtle usury. And it hasn't affected the United States, because the United States is supplementing people's from being out of work with food and stipends.
That's the only difference about this depression, is the food lines are just in everybody's homes. They're using food stamps.
Right, right. They didn't have all these programs in the 1930s. Of course, they had far more legitimate unemployment figures then.
Yeah.
You know, they were changed in 1976, and they were changed again in 1996, and probably since then, so where they can show real unemployment of about 30%, they can show that it's 9%.
When they don't take into account the birth-death ratio or something like that.
Right. This started with Carter administration, which was shortly after them going off the U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter got that through.
But now you have, you really can't see it in Cleveland. You can see part of it. They shut down a lot of businesses, but people moved. When their jobs went, they went somewhere else. And the job...
Any chance to get out of Cleveland?
What's that?
Any reason to get out of Cleveland, they took it.
Well, on one level, yes. But you have examples of Cleveland's building the Med Mart. There's big construction going on right now.
What are they doing?
They're building a Med Mart, medical mart.
Oh, what's that?
All the big medical companies are coming in to do business with the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh.
So this is going to be a major hub of medicine.
Oh, wow.
And that's similar to what Pittsburgh did. Pittsburgh went from industrial, and they switched to light fabrication, light manufacturing.
Now they're snake oil salesmen.
Well, now you have the MedMark is going to bring in all the corporate firms to deal in that business, and it's pretty exclusive because the Cleveland Clinic's one of the most exclusive hospitals in the world. And they're building a casino on the Cuyahoga River. And that's going to be drawing in millions of people. But Cleveland's looking pretty good in this economy by being able to bring this medical mart in. And they're also on a lake. But away from Cleveland in Ohio, you have poverty stricken everywhere. Chris, you've probably seen a lot of poverty.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been real obvious, but there's a few people up on the corner begging for money up at the intersection.
Yep, and it's not just the drug addicts anymore.
No, it's the fathers with.
Yep. So I try and convey to my kids, they don't know how bad it is. My kids may not go to college.
Yeah.
And there may be no jobs for them.
Right, plus these girls want to go to college. A lot of these people are just, I think Chris had sent me that article, and I know that it's true, too, because I've witnessed it personally with other people, that they just get it. All they've done is they finance the rest of their life by going to college.
Right.
That's the new home that they buy now, like you said, I think.
Yeah, the college is the new home.
Well, I'm hoping that I'm blessed enough that they get scholarships.
See, in 1952 or whatever, most people could just work a part-time job and go and pay for their own college.
Well, the cost of living was such that you only needed to work 30 hours because you could still buy stuff.
Right, but the college tuitions were far, far, even considering inflation, were just far less than they are now. It's like medical. It's just totally exploded, college tuitions.
So our economy is tanking, but they're putting in money on infrastructure. We've got big things going on in Cleveland.
And Route 2, they've been working on that thing for 2 years. They've just completely redone the whole thing. I have no idea why.
Probably when they'll be bringing the tanks in.
That's what I've been thinking. I really have thought that.
Well, again, you got to put it in perspective. As all the doomtards are saying, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. No, it's not what's going on. Everything is going to remain the same.
Right, they're trying to chug along and keep things going the same, yeah.
Now, if you're a multimillionaire and you got a yacht and a plane and your kids are set for life, you really don't want anything to change.
It's true.
If you're a millionaire and you're investing and you're losing your investments, then you're in trouble. But on a spiritual level, they're not feeding the poor. They're not taking care of anybody but themselves. And that's at the eye of the needle for a camel to get in. And that equates to a story of the gate of Nehemiah.
It's funny because the needle was the gate itself.
Yes.
In old Jerusalem, when they closed the gates at night, there was a narrow passage that barely a camel could get through into the city.
Yes.
And they called it the needle.
And Nehemiah had to get off of his beast.
Yeah.
To get into the city. Which is a spiritual rendering. He had to leave.
Yeah, absolutely right. He had to get off the beast to get, yeah.
And the harlot, she rides the beast. And the beast can't get into spiritual Jerusalem.
Wow. I never looked at it from that perspective. Yeah, that's it.
And that wall of spiritual Jerusalem is built on lively stones. And the gates are kept by the apostles' teachings. It's all built on the chief cornerstone, our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we're in that wall right now, outside, looking out there, this is the total destruction of the inhabitants of the earth spiritually. They're absolutely being overrun by serpents and scorpions. And if you're not in that wall now, you're watching the trampling of the Gentiles. And this is when Jeremiah is speaking of, this is the recapitulation that tells that, it is of the Lord doing this. And I will persecute them with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, and an astonishment, and a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations, whither I have driven them, because they have not hearkened my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear, saith the Lord. And this is what's going on right now. Nobody will read their gospel. No one will pick up their Bible. No one will study themselves as approved. Nobody is sure of their election. And as we're told, they're all surrounded. And then I come as a thief in the night means that the great multitude might come to the truth, but it's simultaneous. If Sue Patterson's correct and the trumpet judgments and the vile judgments happen simultaneously, that goes back to what we discussed 2 weeks ago, Chris. And this happened, and that happened, and this happened.
Well, the seals, they're definitely tied to the four horsemen, and I know the four horsemen have happened.
There's no doubt in my mind that we're in the pale horse, and the pale horse is all mingled because they have. You could go to court and get the charters, and the charters that the people signed, the nations.
It's all the same law. Canada, U.S., England, Italy, it's all the same law. It just got different veneers on it. There's no justice in any country. Go ahead.
Yes. This is all bad.
Yep.
So spiritual Israel, if you keep going through Jeremiah, let's say the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of the wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, yea, nor your fathers. How did I send unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abomination thing that I hate. Now, this is spiritual Sodom, spiritual Egypt, and Judah and Jerusalem being encircled. So the wicked now have free reign. And if we're looking at events and saying prophetically what's going on in that Gulf of Mexico is a very, very key in our generation, because it's happening to the inhabitants of the earth. And nobody's looking at the fact that these once-in-a-lifetime floods in Mississippi aren't being affected because the Gulf of Mexico has been altered.
Right.
So that at one time there was the jet stream, and now the jet stream is either so slow or it's not working the way it used to, so the water in Montana that's starting to melt now should have melted 2 months ago.
We still haven't had spring here.
I wow. kid you not. I've been working on the docks my whole life. And I had to take my boat down the Cuyahoga today to get the mast fixed. So I go out on my dock, and all of a sudden, the dock got hit by fish so big that it shook me and the dock.
Wow.
Well, the fish is swimming out of control?
I said, wow. And as I'm cruising by the stadium, because I wanted to make a loop around before there's a series of four bridges that you have to have lifted for you. I wanted to make a loop around and just check out the stadium and a couple different things. And there I saw this fish jumped out that was, you know, usually carp are sizable, but this was a big, big, big fish. And I've been on the river my whole life, and I've never seen anything like these things.
Wow.
Wow. Carps, you say?
Carps are usually a tan color.
Yeah, they are.
I've seen dark carp, but this was a blackfish. Like, I was thinking it was a catfish.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't see the whiskers, and all I know is that when it jumped and hit the dock, it had to be 50, 60 pounds slamming into the dock.
Wow.
That's pretty big Lake Erie fish.
Yes, it is.
So if we study down on the little season, I bet we're going to see we're in it.
Yeah, the big issue is the 1,260 days.
Right, we just don't, I don't understand the 1,260 days. I'm not just convinced that it's 1,260 days, and I'm not convinced that it's not, but... Maybe that's just the final recapitulation of it. I don't know.
But I, you know, just looking at this, it's, if our audience doesn't have the basic tenets of Scripture, the sour parable, they don't understand it, they're never going to see this.
No. Actually, I was going to do a whole new parable of the sower today because I was seeing so much on. I might do it tomorrow. See, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. And the carnal mind can only see things in the flesh. That's where the communication, you know, they can't communicate together. The spiritual and the carnal can't communicate. And everybody in the world is seeing things in the carnal. I'm not saying that there's not physical outcroppings, I'm not referring to the fish or the carp or anything like that. I'm just talking about how they perceive Joel's army, how they perceive everything.
What I figure is all those physical outworkings have absolutely nothing to do with the salvation of souls, because that's all spiritual.
Because we're to endure it to the end, no matter what. Whether it was 1,000 years ago or today, it's the same message. He that endureth to the end.
Yeah.
To the straight gate.
Right.
The let's say if we're gauging on the past year, and we have the Gulf of Mexico, and that went away because they're not going to tell you any more about it. There's been no Florida stories whatsoever in the news. Nothing. And you have Fukushima, which is, you know, in total meltdown, and they're not going to release anything about that. And now you have...
People have radioactivity in their urine.
They're going to have radioactivity death in about maybe a year, unlike the world has ever seen. Because radiation itself, that's why it's called...
It's a hidden killer radiation.
It never stops.
It's going out everywhere, and people are being, you know, they're saying, you know, they're talking about nuclear wars, which there could very well be. But the nuclear radiation has been here in so many ways.
There's been a lot of plants that they never even talked about that had leaks.
Right.
And there's a bunch of them on the Missouri River, and there's that one in New Mexico right now. There's a nuclear plant. I don't think it's a power plant. It's a nuclear, some kind of a nuclear center that's in the path of that fire.
That's Los Alamos, where they devised the first atomic bomb.
Right.
That's the heart of the nuclear industry right there.
Plus, Nevada is full of radiation there where they set those test bombs off for
years. Yep.
And they were going to hide and bury everything in Yucca Mountain, you know, where there's earthquake faults.
Still uninhabited.
Yeah.
Those are complete death zones.
Yep.
So
yet, no matter what, people still cling to this world. Cling, they have their affections on things below, not things above, like it says in Colossians. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. They got it switched. They just won't let go of this earth.
And the demons are feasting on them.
Oh, yeah. Because that's what they want.
Very subtly, they put the thought in it. Judas had the thought put in his mind. He was counted with the 12.
Yeah.
And he
was right. He was numbered with the 12. Yes,
on that thought, and that's all it takes to be deceived.
And then Jesus made him the accountant. That's an aspect of the Lord's character that people don't realize. He sets the snare.
And all this is of the Lord. He is the pot, the earth clay.
Yeah, for to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And
Romans. Amen. Peace. His rest.
Isn't it?
It's all we were reading in the Gog Magog story. Today we were reading about God's rest. I forget where that was.
If we look at Daniel, the statue of Daniel, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, that statue. And then it has 10 toes that are clay and iron. And that goes back to Bill's analogy about steel. They just don't mix.
They don't mix, right.
And the remnant of God are not mixing with this man-made stuff, the flesh.
Now,
they're looking at things and saying, hey, you know, Gog and Magog is happening. There's strong delusion on the land. The great falling away has happened. If you know your scriptures, you can't be taught by somebody that's preaching all this. Because when you study yourself approved, you find that pre-tribulation rapture is garbage, dispensationalism is garbage, and all the rest of them down the line are all garbage. Because it doesn't measure up in the Word. And all of these people, this pestilence that is referred to in Jeremiah, that's exactly what's happening. Because pestilence also equates to the locust. But there's different locusts like there's different serpents. There's locusts that come in and just eat the leaves. And then there's another set that just eat the stalks. And then there's another locust that eats the rest. And that's what's happening. So these locusts are not coming for the God's remnant. They're coming for the tares.
Yeah, that's in Joel.
And they can't get into the wall. They're tread upon in the outer court.
Yeah. That's all in Joel.
Even when you go back to Esher, and nobody thinks that's a significant book, and Mordecai, you know, they want to kill him just because he's a Jew. But Mordecai was at the gates. And Mordecai entered the king's court. And he was honored. And that garden that's in Esher, that's likened unto the Garden of Eden. So this flip that's going on, I will overturn, is happening right now. And all of these people are totally deceived in terms of their following the doctrines of demons. And all those that are following the doctrines of demons don't pick up their Bible and read it so that they know that they don't know. They're not studying themselves approved. One of the problems with the Bible controversy when people are having it, I can't be part of it. Read your Bible. I don't care which one you read, just read your Bible. Because if you don't have the milk of Scripture, you're not going to be able to discern the stories of the Old Testament and the recapitulation of the Spirit in the New Testament. Because every time Israel is rebuked for their high places, their worship of idols, and then they are destroyed Well, that's somebody that could read that story and say, okay, I'm falling into that category because there's a bunch of different categories. But it all comes up to idol worship and falling away from the Word. And every time there's a reconciliation until the last time, until Jesus, the 400 years without a prophet, last prophet, all pointing to Jesus, and the entire country of Israel didn't recognize him. And only 12 stood by him. And only 11 ended up as disciples and apostles. And when you talk about the wilderness journey of Moses in Exodus, only 2 crossed from the wilderness, Joshua and Caleb. And in Exodus in the wilderness, they had manna from God. They had spiritual things that were given to them that no other people had. And they still wanted fleshly things.
Yeah.
They
had the pillar of cloud for 40 years and the pillar of fire for 40 years.
And they believed not.
Right, it says, yeah, in Acts chapter 7, it says, because of unbelief that they did not enter into the new land.
So it goes back to...
Unbelief means lack of faith.
Doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas, you're you need to touch, but, you know, blessed are that don't need and believe.
Amen.
Because, remember, the apostles told him this happened, and he didn't believe them. Jesus had to tell them. So at this time, it's the Jesus revealing through his servants, his sons, his daughters, the prophets, that this is really going on, and you're not going to believe it even if I tell you this, but this is really going on right now. And after the floods, whatever events happen and transpire on those nuclear power plants, it's going to get worse, but the next thing that's coming down the pipeline is going to be faster. In our generation, this is the birth pains. Because it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And
yeah, these things are just going to increase in frequency and in intensity.
And you can't get more intense than, you know, 2 oceans destroyed, and now the biggest river in the United States is overtaking the land on every side.
Right, and a war on drugs in the whole world, a war on terror in the whole world, 5 other wars broken out, plus the ones that they probably haven't, they don't talk about. I'm sure there's other wars going on that are not on the news. And of course, they had a war against cancer in 1973, and it's gotten 6 times worse since they brought the war on cancer out in 1973.
No child left behind, they've left every kid behind.
Yeah, they've left every kid behind.
They've practically left every road behind. Without government subsidies paying the police, fire, and city services, every single city in the United States is cutting their police force.
Yep.
And they have all... You know, just stored great wealth, and none of them are true. You don't have a good politician.
No.
You have somebody that's looking after their own interests, because if they don't look after their own interests, there's no jobs out there for them.
And any time there could possibly be a good politician, he's destroyed instantly.
Yep.
They can't have that.
Absolutely, yeah. They have dirt on every one of them. If they don't, they'll go in and create. Even if you were legitimate, they'll come in and create the dirt on you. It's easy, very easily to be framed in this day and age. When they own the legal system, they own everything.
And
you could frame the cleanest person, you know, just ever walked out of his house, they could still frame him for something.
Well, the problem is that even though these are high-profile people in the papers and in the media, it's actually the foundation of the inhabitants of the earth. They're all falling away. From the highest office to the guy next door. Only the
right.
Lord can see their heart. The great falling away and following after doctrines of demons is definitely growing faster. It's growing every day. And all we've seen is people falling away from the truth. And that includes the ministers.
And yet they're all calling it good, you know, a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. So everybody is out there calling their works good, the government, the city, the educational system. And only good comes from God. I mentioned this earlier with Brother Chris today. And there is no goodness without beside God. So if you're calling yourself good, that's a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. And then they're all calling themselves good.
This is the potential right now is that the entire Midwest of the United States could be wiped out by this.
I'm really of the mind that the East Coast is going to take a hard hit.
Well, some of those places have been in depression for so long on the East Coast. They're like Rhode Island and... I specifically knew people from Rhode Island. I know things were really rough there.
Rough everywhere.
Yeah.
There's mobs of kids going in Chicago and Philadelphia and just robbing a Sears.
Yeah.
Well, when we have 50 years with no gospel, that's about what's going to happen, huh?
The restrainer's been lifted.
Just in recent times, you know, just the last 50 years, like, you know, Bob has mentioned on prior shows that we used to get in trouble for shooting spitwads or whatever, or throwing gumballs.
Well, you know, it was one thing that
I think a couple times they'd drop a cherry bomb down the toilet in the bathroom. But.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is on Pete's PowerPoint presentation of the two witnesses, he has a statement about the 60s, and you know we went over all that last week on the show. But it's really the Masonic saying, "Do as thou wilt." That's really what happened, you know, after the 60s. Do whatever you want, you know. Do what feels good, you know. And this is what we have today. Do as thou wilt.
Well, that was the Tavistock that you. You looked into.
Yeah.
And you know who had the confirmation on that? Bernard Pyron.
Oh, yeah.
And on his website, he was telling that story.
Yeah.
Because he was in college at, I believe it was Wisconsin.
Wisconsin was a hub of influence.
Yep.
Yep, here we are. You know, the mind control, Marxist mind control, has run its course.
Hell horse all the way.
And now we have just a complete society of dumbed-down, self-serving, 2 Timothy chapter 3 people. Lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, high-minded.
No meekness in them.
No meekness.
I can still remember as a child, like I said, it wasn't perfect back then, not even by a long shot. The falling away was long before that even. But I can remember children maybe being involved in malicious hanky-panky of a minor thing or something and thinking and no one was watching. And you may hear one of the children say, "But yeah, but God is watching."
Right.
I don't think you would hear that today even anymore.
No, because they're not preaching it. And nobody's reading it. I'm telling you, this is all about the word and the famine on the land. And the and man, how far can you go without the gospel? Because now you can't even buy it in the store.
No.
And in a year and a half, we're going to be at the 40-year point time of testing after Roe versus Wade. And there's no way the Lord's going to look past that.
No, was it King Herod that was killing the babies? We're kind of like the United States. It's kind of like a King Herod now, huh?
Yeah, killing absolutely. The babies? I talked to somebody today on the phone that was the number one Google search for how much does something cost was abortion.
Oh, gosh.
Where the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just of a thing of naught. So this is the Lord in Isaiah telling you, therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, and Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of my hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understand, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. And this doctrine is the gospel.
Yeah, that's waking up.
That's instruction. That's from a teacher that's hearing, that's learning, that's the truth of Scripture.
That's in Isaiah 29:17-18. Is it not yet for a little while? And Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. And in that day shall the deaf ear hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The terrible one is brought to naught, the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. That's, you know, that's Isaiah 29. That's the waking of the multitude. You know, it's actually 29:16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall he, or shall the thing framed say to him that framed it, had he had no understanding? I mean, this is the, you know, the Lord, you know, the same kind of almost sarcasm, if you will, that he used, like with Job, when he said, you were here when I set the foundations of the world, huh? But that's kind of going along with what you were saying, Bob, with the waking. The blind do see out of this obscurity. They, you know, they do wake up. There is a portion. There's a residue that does wake up.
And it's a small residue.
Yeah, it's a good question on how big it is.
And we were discussing in the Ungodly Show. This, if you're told something's going to happen and you're not going to believe it, and you're sure that the churches are telling people that Jesus is in the desert, believe them not. And he's in the chambers, believe them not. Then you have a recapitulation of events like Gog and Magog that are happening that nobody sees. And when Jeremiah went to tell him that you have to leave Israel and be captive into Babylon, or you're going to be cut by the sword and you're going to have pestilence, you know, who's going to go with that? Because they were in a fortified city. So the people that didn't hearken unto the prophet of the Lord, Jeremiah, they were killed. Now the Lord is going to bring his people out of captivity. And it's not of anybody's words or that, it's of the Lord.
Right, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. It's the spirit of the Lord that's the fire out of the mouth of his people that pierces Leviathan.
Yeah.
And I see this as Bill when had the restrainer. The restrainer study tell this to be true. It's, you know, it's the gospel and the diminished word on the land. So anytime you talk about scriptures or the Bible, you're gonna be attacked. You're gonna be attacked for telling people to read the Bible.
And in turn, that'll be considered hail, persecution. It'll sweep away the lies in your own life. This is part of the process. This is why this is what the Gog Magog war is. It's the church carrying out God's judgment for God's purpose, and that the judgment wakes up the church. The hail sweeps away the lies. The persecution wakes up the sleeping multitude as they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Revelation 11:11, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet.
Great army.
Great fear fell upon them that saw them.
Great army, that links to the great multitude in Revelation.
Yeah. Amen. And that's the good army.
That's the onward Christian soldiers.
Yeah, the one that comes against the Joel's army, the bad army.
Well, here's Joel's army in Isaiah 34:1.
Our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with evil spirits and principalities from high places.
Come near
Isaiah 34.
What's that?
Yeah, Isaiah 34.
Isaiah 34 is telling of the armies and what's going to happen to them.
There you go.
But see, remember when we were doing the third day studies, this was all centered on the church. But now you have a transition, because remember in Israel's time of that prophet Isaiah, they didn't mention the earth. They mentioned Israel and the surrounding kingdoms. So you always had Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and all of the Canaanites, all of the places, the high places that they had to clean out when they crossed into the Jordan. Now you come to Isaiah, and Isaiah is talking about the inhabitants of the world now. And so this is a prophetic piece of what's happening in our time. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Well, that Joel's army is being delivered, it's their spiritual death.
Yeah.
Don't fear those that could kill the flesh. Fear those that could kill the flesh and the soul. And that's what they're doing right now. They're killing people in the spirit. Slaughtered. And the only people standing are the ones that are in the gospel. And we're told in Zechariah, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver as refined, and will try them as gold as tried. They shall call my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God.
Right, they reflect the light of God, and they're of a pure heart. The refined silver is reflecting the light of God, and the tried is they're tried, and robes are washed white, and they're of a pure heart. And that's His people. That's the peculiar people.
And they are the ones that haven't rejected the word. And they're not in pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. They're not Zionists. They're not Muslims. They're not Buddhists. They're all out of the church. And His counsel in Proverbs, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and that's the gospel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. And I say this can only happen if they come to the truth and they know that the Lord is not going to redeem them. That's the only thing that would scare people to the shame and walking in the valley of the shadow of death and the gnashing of the teeth, because they missed it. So there may be, the multitude may be redeemed, but we're not told the time period that that'll take. And if you continue on, therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I remember, Bill, that was the great evil, the greatest evil that will ever be upon the earth.
Right.
There's none like this.
Right. It says in Revelations, there'll be earthquakes such as never seen before. Which is, Jesus said, He confirmed it also in Matthew 24, there'll be tribulation such as not tribulation ever seen or will be.
So these tares are morally wrong, concretely bad people, condemned, guilty, wicked, that did wrong. And it says in Zephaniah, I will consume man and beast, I will consume the fowls of the heaven, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. And this treading down is the Gentiles in the outer court. And ye shall tread down the wicked, they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's the third day.
That's right.
That's the end of this. Do you see anything else, Chris? That's covering your God, Magog.
Yeah, it's really absolutely brought a whole lot out tonight, Bob. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, yes, excellent. Yeah, reduce it down into a small picture. I mean, just reduce it into a photo-sized picture.
The most astonishing thing of all is that it's right here, right now. Because Jerusalem is encompassed with armies right now. Jerusalem above, and Jerusalem is the remnant that is surrounded by serpents and scorpions.
Well, that the this is coming to an end fast.
Yeah, it's coming to an end fast.
And
I don't think we have much time.
And how many spiritual sacrifices can you have when there's the diminishment of the word? And in our generation, we've never seen anything like this. It goes from the biggest selling book in the world to you can't even find one in the store.
Yeah.
And the result is no fear of God anywhere. It's totally gone.
Especially in the churches.
Especially in the churches, right.
The worst place to be right now is in a church or a Christian bookstore. Most, those are the two most dangerous places on the earth.
I agree.
Because people are trusting them.
They're putting trust in it, right?
And in
those books, Christian bookstores are just huge merchandisers. That's all they are.
In Jude, how that they told you there should be mockers for the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts.
That's what Peter said.
And that comes to 2 Peter 2:6. In turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them as an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So spiritual Sodom and Edom and Egypt right now are Babylon. They're all under the Babylonian Empire. And if this is correct, then we're seeing that the statue of these kingdoms, the spiritual kingdoms, are going to be crushed by the stone in Daniel's dream. And that stone is the chief cornerstone, our Lord Jesus Christ, that is going to grind them to powder. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
The only question is how long will the Lord tarry?
Great mercy.
We are absolutely in the time of mercy right now, that anybody that doesn't get on their face and repent today is a fool. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow shall be just like today only and better.
That's right. And be able to buy another shopping mall tomorrow. Get a 501c2 that allows them to buy shopping malls.
Oh, yeah.
And remember what we're told in 2 Corinthians, audience. And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now this Baal is also Satan. So you're told to sin no more and go. And the Lord enters into covenant with you. And you study yourself approved, and the Lord arms you in the Spirit so that you may study the gospel and understand what's happening, and other people don't. And from a spiritual perspective, you could see that this is the time that God sends evil spirits. And this is the army of the north. And this is ultimately the Gog-Magog war going on right now. And it's all of the Lord. And it's all in the scriptures. Bill?
Absolutely. Go and sin no more. Narrow is the way, straight is the gate, that's sin no more. And there's few that go there. Few that go there.
An audience, the world has been warned about this. Because as a child, you know right and wrong. And as you grow, you're either in the world or you're not. And it's told the enemy hath magnified himself. There is no Holy Spirit. And she had no comforter. And that's the woman that rideth the beast. That's the Antichrist. Those that are...
She also says she's not a widow, too. Which means that she thinks she's still married to Christ. She says, I'm no widow. I believe in Revelation 17, is it? I'll look it up real quick while you guys go on.
So we're told the entire story. But it's not told, audience. It's not told unless you know exactly what the Lord admonished us to do. He spoke to the multitudes, and he spoke to his disciples. And in Galatians 4:24 and 4:25, we're told exactly what's going on. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which it now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren and bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate have many more children than she which have a husband. And that's the children of the wicked, audience. And if you continue on, you're told the rest of the story. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are all the children of the promise. And that's the children of promise, are the elected seed of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can understand, because of these allegories and samples, parables, exactly what's happening in the spirit. And you're not going to see this unless you've studied yourself approved. You endure. You race to the straight gate. Because if you turn on your TV set or radio, or you go on the internet, and you're distracted by anything, that is a snare. And we're told in this time in the wilderness, there's snares, serpents, and scorpions. Chris?
Amen. And all we can do is just be armed with the truth, stand in the truth, you know, stand with our loins girded with truth and endure, because this is what's not happening. You know, the church has not endured sound doctrine, and this is the big part of the falling away, that they've fallen into doctrines of demons, you know, these doctrines devised by men, by psychology, by their own understanding, and there's just no power. There's no power. You know, we're worshiping the Lord in flesh and in lies, not in spirit and in truth. You know, this is what we're called to do: to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and really, really do that. A very simple, you know, portion of Scripture that is the most profound understanding, because. This is the sacrifice the Lord requires. You know, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And today these churches that are hooting and hollering, you know, with this, glory, they're just so clueless to the fact that, the Lord's wrath is upon us, and that the remnant are in sackcloth and ashes right now in mourning. You know, for the condition of Israel, like it said in Ezekiel, where, the Lord said, and, those that lament for the, the abominations that are taking place in Israel, put a mark on their forehead. You know, it's a type and shadow of the marking of God. You know, we want to be marked by God. And significant of that is the fact that, you know, the mark of the beast is on the forehead and the hand. And the hand is significant of force, of power, of, you know, building. And ironically, the mark of God is rest. You know, there's no mark on the hand for the remnant elect because, you know, being
they're
marked by
builders.
God is entering into his rest.
Right. They're not builders, exactly. You know, this harlot church that you were speaking of, this glorying in itself in chapter 18.
That's all you see.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that he receive not her plagues, which we've read so many times. But I'd like to read the next few verses following this. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Even as she rewarded you and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. And this is what I believe was the greater damnation in Matthew 23. But here's a big one, verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself, that's the church today, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart. So she says this is in her heart. This is, I sit as a queen. And am no widow, and shall see no sorrow.
Right.
She believes that she's married to Jesus. She's not a widow, she says. I'm no widow.
It's very accurate.
And you, audience, you're Isaiah 29:19. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And if we go back to Isaiah 61:1, and our Lord declared his reign, which is right now. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. When you take the in context the brokenhearted, it's to burst. It's to break down, it's broken, but it's also bring to the birth, crush, destroy, hurt, quench, quit, tear, view. And it's also the expected hope and patience of hope, tarry, view, and wait. So in the brokenhearted, those of our Lord Jesus Christ that are in covenant, that are seeing all of these things go on, is great hope. And we're told to view this, and we're told to wait. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And those are the covenants of our Lord Jesus Christ, audience. And it's not good for the other side. At all.
Uh-uh.
Because this could stop at any time.
That's right. And if you're on the other side of the gulf, it's fixed. It's a fixed gulf. And Abraham said, there's nothing I can do about it. When that man wanted a bit of water to quench his thirst in that gulf, or in that land that was separated by the gulf.
And it's stated right there in those parables, that parable, audience, that the man saying, I want to go back and tell my brothers. Then Abraham saying, we sent the prophets, and the Lord himself came down. And you still don't see it. Now, at this time, audience, all you can do is stand. And it's stand in the holy place, and yet stand with our Lord Jesus Christ, and believe them not. At this time, audience, don't believe any man. You need to study yourself approved. You need to know this gospel, because the Lord will write it in your heart, and he will bring all things in remembrance to whatever you've learned, to put the entire gospel together. Bill?
Amen. Yeah, the standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't say it enough, and I know you gentlemen too. Pray to be counted worthy to escape all things. Make sure your election endureth to the end. Any man put his shoulder to the plow and look abath is not deserving of the kingdom of God.
And we're also told, audience, that, you know, if there were evil spirits that Jesus had to cast out in his day, and we're told that the book is closed, and nobody's ever seen an evil spirit, and we're told that we don't battle in the flesh, we battle in our mind, because the prince and principalities of the air are upon the inhabitants of the earth, that means that you were given Ephesians 6 armor, the armor of light in the spirit. And you need to protect your mind with the helmet of salvation. And all these darts, these fiery darts over the internet, over your radio, over your TV, are meant to kill you. And I mean kill you spiritually. So if you get lost in some doctrine of demons and you can't come back to Scripture, you're not wearing your armor. You're not in covenant. Chris?
Amen. Yeah, just, you know, in closing myself tonight, I'm just going to just really encourage the listeners to just live it. Do everything you know in these times ahead, because it's going to be a time where, you know, God's power is going to be unleashed on his remnant elect, on his true followers who are, you know, have a broken and broken spirit and a contrite heart, who are exercising true forgiveness. You know, just let go of the bitterness and let go of all the you know, betrayal and wrongdoings that were done to you, because, you know, all of us are going through this. You know, we're betrayed by brothers, and you know, just like Scripture says, and just you know that it's not you, it's the truth of the gospel. You know, they hated Jesus, so they hate us. But just keep forgiving, and you know, and just be you know, ever mindful of the needs that are out there, because we have the words of life, you know. And the disciples said to Jesus, you know, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. And, you know, these are the words that have been passed down to us, this generation. And this strange work, the Lord's strange act, the work that we wouldn't believe if we were told. Well, you know, God's people, Israel, the Israel of God, are, you know, in the middle of this as God reaches out to his sheep, as we prophesy and testify these words to the lost, and the you know, some respond. There are those that hear, and just be ever mindful of you know, the people that you influence in your life, the needs that are out there, because there's a lot of hurting people, and that's what this is about. It's about the Lord stripping all the pride and all the idolatry from his people. And this is what Scripture says, the green grass will be burned up. And the grass is anything flesh that we're holding on to. You know, this is what's going to be stripped from God's people. And you know, we're going to be called to instruct many. You know, it says that those who understand among the people shall instruct many. And, you know, this is our calling. We can just pass it along and encourage one another. And I tell you, I just am so grateful for all the, you know, all of our friends that email us and encourage us. And, and pray for us. And I just want to testify that the Lord's definitely been working, you know, even tonight with some issues that were, you know, addressed. And as the Lord is, there is, you know, just it's a time of purification right now. We're all being tried by fire. And, you know, if it's not a technical glitch, it's a, you know, it's, you know, personal or whatever. But we're, you know, we're seeing the Lord work, and it's exciting as we all just keep, you know, stripping off the layers, letting the Lord do it as He scrapes off the dross, you know, skims off the dross as we're refined. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight and thank everyone.
Brother Bill.
Yes, I'd like to close with John 11. Martha speaking to Jesus. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Was asking Martha, and she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world.
Well, I'd like to thank you both. Very difficult night in terms of just getting the show off, audience. And we thank you for your patience. We kind of ad-libbed the show a little bit tonight. I'd like to close with Titus 2:11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Audience, unto himself a peculiar people is beyond unusual. It's special. And that means his own. His own people. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good night.